Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're joined by Daniel Gallington, a longtime colleague and friend of mine, mostly from our days together in the Reagan Pentagon, but I've tracked his career in a number of other incarnations over the years, including on the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, where he was the last bipartisan general counsel of the committee. He's also a special assistant to the Secretary of Defense and a man who worked with the National Commission for the Review of the National Reconnaissance Office, among other incarnations. Dan Gallington today is the Senior Policy and Program Advisor for the George C. Marshall Institute, and you can find his writings in all the right places, and we're always pleased to find him here with us. Dan, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Frank. Always a pleasure.
You were one of some 55, I think, members of this fraternity of specialists in matters involving arms control and nuclear deterrence and intelligence and scientific concerns related to all of the above, who wrote to the president earlier this week a very strong letter and a powerful accompanying analysis opposing the what I call Obama bomb deal. First of all, thank you for lending your name to that. I was privileged to do so myself. Talk a little bit about this letter and its importance as you see it.
Well, it's a great letter. It's very well drafted. It's a professional work product. It's in detail. It goes into, particularly the annex, it goes into excruciating detail about the inadequacy primarily of the so-called verification regime. As you know, I would have preferred, although I signed the letter and I was honored to do that, I would have preferred a short hard hitter that would have said, one, look, the Iranians already have enough special nuclear material to make nuclear weapons. They have 9,000 cascading centrifuges and have had them for many years. They've had a nuclear weapons program, we know, for 30 years, and they may have already assembled a nuclear weapon or two. So this agreement, just by virtue of that, is OBE, as we say in Washington, overtaken by events. And it's simply not a realistic a kind of agreement to be signing at this time. It's foolish. So that's sort of my emotional reaction to the issue. But I was very honored to sign the letter.
You know, Danny Pletka, in a previous segment, Dan Gallington, talked about one other aspect of this that's on our minds today, as the Saudi king has been visiting with the president to, I guess, kind of try to figure out how to ameliorate the Saudi concerns about this deal and what it's likely to leave them with in terms of their neighbor and enemy, Iran. What do you make of the prospect that the president is going to respond to what are clearly real and growing security concerns, despite his promises that this is actually the way to avoid war, by pouring more weapons, billions of additional weapons, into not just the hands of the Saudis, but others in the region?
Yeah, it's troubling. It's almost you're sort of tipping the scales in favor of an armed conflict of some kind between the respective belligerents over there. And, of course, the Russians will reciprocate by dumping an equivalent amount of arms and technology into Iran. So you have a new weaponization in the region, which can only result in further instabilities. If one could imagine any more instability in the region than there is now, that's just asking for it. I agree with Danielle on that assessment.
And, you know, one of the other pieces of this, Dan, is that that war, should it come, particularly if it goes into the nuclear dimension, may well not be contained to the region. This is something I think most of us are losing sight of altogether, that the potential for a far wider war is very real as well.
The Iranians don't want us to lose sight of that. In other words, that sort of underhanded threat is one they want us to think about. In other words, this nuclear confrontation, if it ever occurs, will involve more than just us. And they want us to know that, and they want us to worry about it. And We are sort of sticking our head in the sand here with this agreement, making believe that they don't have, one, the material they need to build bombs, and two, making believe that they may not have already built a bomb or two. It is a head in the sand agreement if I ever saw one.
Let me ask you again, because I think this is of such importance to the American people, calibrating what the stakes are with respect to this Obama bomb deal for us. Dan Gallington, you served, among other things, as the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Territorial Security. Do you believe that there is a threat from Iran that could very much prove catastrophic to our homeland, arising potentially from attacks that they might undertake either through an electromagnetic pulse form or cyber warfare, perhaps, against the electric grid of the United States? And if so, what are the potential repercussions of that?
Yeah, I would say all of the above, plus I'd add a couple, Frank. I would add there's nothing in, matter of fact, everything in the dogma that comes out of Iran would suggest that if they have a nuclear weapon that works, they would share it. And not only that, it could be delivered a number of different ways, in a shipping container, in a ocean vessel, and as you mentioned, the EMP kind of blast. That's the kind of thing that would that they would think about. They're serious about this, and the only person at risk with a nuclear weapon in this part of the world is us. It isn't Europe. It isn't, you know, it isn't the other part. It's us. We're the great Satan.
Dan, let me turn quickly to one other topic with you. You've spent much of your distinguished career in the intelligence business. Give us a damage assessment of what we have learned to date, to say nothing of any speculation you wish to engage in based on what we think is coming, with respect to the way in which former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton conducted her email correspondence while in that position.
Well, yeah, Frank, you may remember I was at the Department of Justice for about 7 years in the Office of Intelligence Policy Review, and we wrote all the executive orders on post-AIMS on the classification process. So I'm intimately familiar with that. Let's begin with this. You have a confluence here of dangers. First of all, State Department is not well known for its protection of secrets in general. I've heard them described generally as sloppy with classified information. I've seen reviews of some of their processes. So they have a reputation for not being as concerned about classification as some of the other agencies are. Well, number two, you have obviously Mrs. Clinton, when she was secretary, surrounded by her assistants, all of whom likely had very high clearances, but they didn't abide by any of the procedural rules that go along with having those accesses. And oddly enough, I don't know if you read Mr. Snowden's assessment of Mrs. Clinton and her assistants. Snowden said she's in big trouble. Any employee who had done something like that, no matter what their grade, would have been fired summarily. They would have been disciplined. They would have never, ever had an access to secure classified information again.
Dan, we are out of time. This is going to be a subject I think we're going to turn to you for more insights on as it develops, because we're not done with these emails. And by the way, somebody seems to be willing to sell a bunch of them too. So we'll be tracking the security implications of that and more with Dan Gallington, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense and General Counsel of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. Keep up the good work at the George Marshall Institute, my friend. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, Bill Gertz will be talking about seagoing threats and unilateral U.S. nuclear disarmament. That and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.